Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Ted Santos, and I am your host of The Creative Alchemist. We are the show that talks about all of your business needs, from transitioning to new careers, pivoting in the marketplace when you have coronavirus, to handling your finance and creating a new future. We also even look at your health. Today we are going to somewhat look at the health, but this will be money, finance. We are going to specifically look at the finances that have been impacted or extended to us through our stimulus package, and a lot of the mysteries, we're going to uncover those. This is a maybe I should have made the title of the show should have been something more about uncovering the mysteries of the SBA, understanding new SBA programs. But before we go into introducing our guest, who is a very brilliant man, you know I never fly this show alone. I always have a co-pilot. So, Lori, let them know you're here.
Hi, I'm Lori Miller, interior designer, and I guess a business owner. Sometimes it's questionable, sometimes it's not. And I'm Ted's co-pilot. So we started the podcast together because I thought that creative people or anybody is in need of business advice. And, you know, if you're starting a business, you always want to know what's important. I'm excited about tonight's guest because it's all about finances. And there's so many questions running around, so we're going to get into that, which is great. And Perry also has some great finance coaching programs, so I'm excited to hear all about all of them and not just the ones I know. And I just want to thank our sponsor, The Floor Store, 904 Broad Hollow Road, Farmingdale, New York. They are not just, I guess, floors, but they are wood floors, vinyl, ceramic, porcelain, carpet. So if you need a floor and you need an expert, The Floor Store is the way to go. 631-752-7520. So Perry, let's jump in and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, Lori and Ted, thank you for having me. Hey, everybody who's listening. My name is Perry Jeffries, known in the marketplace as the Entrepreneur CFO. I'm the president of Diamond Equity Advisors, a registered investment advisory firm located in Columbus, Ohio, with clients across the country, actually now global. What we specialize in is investment advisory, so your traditional financial advising as far as retirement planning and investments and stocks and what have you. Also, too, we have a specialty as a fractional CFO for entrepreneurs across the country, where we help them maximize their cash flow, increase their revenue, and guarantee profits in their businesses. And just really just happy to be here to have a conversation with you guys and talk about all of this, stimulus money being floated around because of the pandemic, obviously, and talk a little bit more about the CARES Act and some of those packages that are now available for entrepreneurs. So as an entrepreneur myself, for over 20 years, entrepreneurs just have a very special place in my heart, and hope I can provide some value to your listeners and guide them in the right direction and keep them out of harm's way.
Hey, great.
So if anybody
If
anyone out there has questions, now is the time to ask them.
No question. Okay, question. And before we get into that, just a little bit more about you, Perry. So CFO, does that mean you have a CPA? Are you a licensed CPA or?
So the ironic thing about it, Ted, is I have a ton of licenses. So I have a Series 7, a Series 66, and a dozen nations with a lot of letters that you probably don't care anything about. But I'm also a certified Profit First professional. So though I personally am not a CPA or accountant, I travel around the country educating CPAs and accountants. So I've taken the national stage at the AICPA convention speaker, along the lines of kind of my specialty, which is profitability and improving cash management and cash flow in businesses. So though we have accountants and bookkeepers in our firm, I personally am not one, but I do travel around the country and educate them on how they can take care of their clients.
Okay, perfect. And the reason I ask, because a lot of people who are CPAs, they are, you can be a CPA and be an excellent accountant. But to understand finance and how to, you want to marry finance. You marry finance with operations and strategy. So that you have to understand the accounting and the bookkeeping. You have to understand all those things. However, to be able to map out the financial strategy and project and have an understanding is really not something every CPA can do. So, you know, interesting that you're actually training CPAs, and I assume part of that training is so that they actually become much better at marrying finance with strategy and operations.
You nailed it. You nailed it on the head. You nailed it on the head. So am I mm-hmm.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
So piggyback off of that, absolutely. So in my role as a CFO for the companies that we work with, it comes down to strategy. And really what it comes down to is that most CPAs, and my CPAs and accountants who are listening, I'm not taking a shot at you, I'm just speaking the truth here. The majority of accounting professionals are reactive in what they do. So typically they are giving you reports of what already happened. So they give you what's happening in the rearview mirror. Unfortunately, entrepreneurs, especially small business owners, don't need to see what happened in the rearview mirror. They need to see what's in front of them. So that's
exactly
what you're from a strategy standpoint, because you can't drive a car across the country and try to get from point A to point Z looking in the rearview mirror all the time. You need a dashboard and something you can understand. So what we specialize in is helping those small business owners or entrepreneurs understand their numbers in a simplistic way where they can actually make decisions without having to go understand a profit and loss statement or a cash flow statement. No, we want to help you understand your numbers so that you can actually grow your business and know at any point in time during the day whether or not you're profitable. You shouldn't have to wait to the quarter or the end of the year to know, well, I don't know if I'm profitable or not. You should know whether you're profitable every minute, second of the day. So that's exactly what we do.
Perfect. So what you just said is perfect, right? So, and part of what I'm getting at here is on our topic is understanding the new SBA loan program. So, you know, some people, we were talking just before the show started, we were talking about how a lot of people don't really understand the programs, and they're taking loans, and what they're doing with the money isn't always what you just said. So if you're going to take these loans, normally banks want to understand your strategy, and they want to understand if you understand it and how much your strategy is going to cost and what's the return on, you know, the input of money. So you put $100,000 into your strategy, what's coming out on the other end of, you know, the achievement of that strategy. So I think there may be people, regardless of whether they're a small business or a medium-sized business, and they may not have completely thought through the relevance of these loans and the long-term strategy and what's happening in our world, you know, in a pandemic. So that's kind of the backdrop of what I want to deal with, right? Is that a good place, like a platform for us to stand on here?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, it is. Without a shadow of a doubt.
So, Perry, I have a question, because I've heard a lot of people say that, you know, they were going for the economic disaster loan and that they were getting approved for, I don't know, $60,000, $70,000, $100,000. And they were going to take that money and buy properties to flip them or invest it and, you know, then make money on their investments. And I mean, is that something you can do? Is that not good? And like, what do you think? Like, where do you go with that?
Yeah. So let's start with we call that the EIDL loan for short. So the economic injury disaster loan, right? So let's start with kind of the mechanics of the loan and then kind of put a button on it, bow on it, and talk about what you can use the money for. But let's, for our listeners who may not understand the loan, this is the loan.
Okay.
And part of this is part of the CARES Act package that rolled out. So what the government did is, as a knee-jerk reaction to the pandemic, in order to try to stabilize the economy, they rolled out a couple of different plans. So you have the EIDL loan, the Economic Injury Disaster Loan. You have the PPP loan, the Paycheck Protection Program loan. And they've changed some things on what you can do with your retirement plan as far as taking penalty-free distributions and also some loan provisions on top of that. So your question is about the EIDL loan. So as of right now, loan is set up this way. It is a 30-year SBA loan at 3.5%, where you don't have to make a payment on this loan for 12 months. And literally, people are getting approved for thousands of dollars. So the same people who couldn't approve for a $1,000 credit card because their business finances were in shambles are now able to get approved for thousands, tens, or hundreds of thousands of dollars from their phone without having to show any documentation to prove that they have the ability or can demonstrate the ability to be to pay back the loan. So with that being said, the conversation I've had with people is this, kind of to your question, Lori. This is either going to be heaven or hell. And I say heaven or hell in this sense. Entrepreneurs are getting a blessing from above to get access to these monies. But you have to use these dollars correctly. So understand that this is working capital for your business. And before you go out and spend any money, you have to look at your loan documents because it says it plain as day in your loan documents that the SBA has the rights to come back 3 years after the disbursement of these funds and ask for receipts on where you spent the money and where you spent the money. That can go back and say, hey, we want to see where you spent that money. And understand this is a federal program. In addition to that, if you're outside of the guidelines of how you can spend those dollars, then you have to look at something else when you sign that loan document. And this is what's kind of scary about it. And who's up for our listeners? I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to make you aware. Because again, it can be heaven or hell. When you sign this loan document, it says plain as day that you hereby grant the SBA access to the following collateral: your home that you own now, any home that you may buy, access to your deposit accounts, access to your account receivables. And so it's so literally you have put up your entire financial wherewithal up as collateral for this loan. So those are the things that we got to make sure that we're taking into consideration when we start thinking about this loan. This isn't just, oh, the SBA gave me free money and I can go out here and do whatever I want to with it. You have to be crystal clear on what that means. Now, in that loan document, I'm going to pull up, if I can pull up some of our things in here to kind of list where you can use the loans for, because it tells you pretty crystal clear. It's like, hey, you can use the money for this or you can use the money for this. But as I read this to you, borrower will obtain an itemized receipts, paid invoices, and canceled checks and contracts for all loan funds spent and retain those receipts for 3 years from the date of final disbursement. Prior to subsequent disbursement, if any, and whenever requested by SBA, borrower will submit to SBA itemization together with copies of receipts. So here's the deal, y'all. You have to understand what this loan is for. This is working capital for your current business. You got this capital. You received this blessing from the SBA when you probably shouldn't have received it based on your finances. Not that you're a bad person, but if your finances couldn't demonstrate that you could qualify for a $1,000 credit card, no finances could demonstrate that you qualify for $100,000 in SBA money. So understanding you got these funds, you have to make sure that you're using these funds as working capital for the business that qualified for it. So if my business is a coaching business and I qualify for these funds, then I need to show a track record where I use this working capital for my coaching business. If me going out buying real estate doesn't tie to my coaching business, that means you just use SBA funds inappropriately. And now you have to show receipts. And somebody can be like, well, what do you mean receipts? Well, it says it in your loan document that we need to, that they can come back and look at your receipt. You're going to say, oh, I went out and bought a Mercedes Benz, or I went bought a rental property with the SBA money. You have to show where this working capital for your business that was used to qualify for the loan ties back to, hey, this is what I used to grow the business. So hopefully that kind of answers your question in an all collective way, Lori.
It does. You also said that it's tied to collateral, so it's the collateral from your home. However,
yes.
I mean, I believe that it said business purchase or business whatever, you know. So how wouldn't it specifically say that you're, you know, personal property or no?
So here's the deal. And I'll read it to you here real quickly. It says, for loan amounts of greater than $25,000, borrower hereby grants the SBA, the secured party here under, a continuing security interest in and to any and all collateral. Collateral includes the following property that the borrower now owns or shall acquire or create immediately upon the acquisition or creation of thereof. All tangible and intangible personal property, including but not limited to inventory, equipment, insurance, including promissory notes, including tangible electronic title paper, documents, letter of credit rights, accounts, including health care insurance receivables and credit card receivables and deposit accounts. So though this is a business loan, and they wrote this and they wrote this program out so quickly to try to prop the economy up before we crash. And mind you, people are signing these loans without speaking to a banker. They're signing these through a DocuSign electronic signature where they are not reading all of the documents. They are just signing on their phone, and 48 hours later, they're getting $100,000 in their account. Tell them to go back and read their loan documents, because what I just read to you, Lori, is directly off of the loan document, you know what I'm saying, that I signed. So this isn't what I think it is. This is actually off the loan documents, and it says it as crystal clear.
So that's
all of this is now collateral.
That could get people in a lot of trouble. And now if you're claiming bankruptcy, what happens to your house?
Exactly, because now, you know what I'm saying, oh, well, I'm just going to, you know, kind of how to get out, you know, some business owners like, well, I'll just BK this business and walk away from the debt. Oh, no. You've already put up your deposit accounts as collateral, all your personal property, your home, or any home that you may purchase. So people need to understand that they are in one of the strongest relationships with the federal government, about as strong as the IRS, being in a relationship with the tax person. So again, not to share fear, but just understand, use these money correctly, and make sure that you're using these dollars in a way that can actually grow your business, because it is a loan, and the SBA now, if your loan is above $25,000. Your entire financial balance sheet is now collateral to the SBA.
Right.
So, well, what if it's like your example with the coaching company, and you take, you know, a $50,000 loan, you use it to buy rental property, and it's successful, right? So your property's doing well, and they want to see, you know, what did you use the money for? And it's used inappropriately, except you actually are doing well. You may have bought distressed rental property, right? So you have equity in it.
Yep.
Is there going to be a penalty even though you didn't lose the money? I guess that's what I'm trying to figure out. What happens if whatever you bought, whether it was a real rental property or a stock and you're showing a profit, what happens? Do they penalize you for misappropriation of funds, or they leave you alone, they want your house, what happens?
You know what? And that's the deal and reason it's kind of scary, because all this has rolled out so quickly and it has changed almost weekly, and daily, weekly, and monthly as far as what that looks like. Because you have in the loan document, okay, cool, you could be looking at fines up to $1 million. You could be looking at jail time up to 2 years. So it really hasn't been spelled out what happens if you do it. But I will read this to you again, coming directly from the loan document itself. The purpose of the EIDL, the proceeds for an EIDL are to be used to meet working capital needs. The EIDL may be used to pay fixed debts, payroll, accounts payable, and other operating expenses that cannot be paid because of disastrous impact. Then the next line says it pretty crystal clear. EIDL property cannot be used for the following purposes: expanding business operation, paying cash dividends or bonuses, or disbursement payments to officers and owners. It didn't say, hey, you can't go buy real estate, but what it did say is supposed to be used for fixed debts, payroll, accounts payable, and other operating expenses. So the question is, how do you tie going out buying a rental property to your business as an operational expense? That's a conversation mm-hmm. that you have to have with financial advisor and your accountant. Now we're talking about millions of people have received these dollars. Are they going to be able to audit? Is the government going to be able to audit all millions? I don't know. But I'm not going to run the chance of them auditing me, right, and run that risk when the funds can be used for these things right here. So, again, these dollars are working capital, but it says pretty explicitly what it can be used for and what it cannot be used for. So, again, how do you justify that and make yourself audit-proof if you do want to go and buy a property? Because how do you tie that to the, again, fixed debts, payroll, accounts payable, and other operating expenses? Could it be
right,
done?
Right.
Possibly, but I'm just telling you what the loan doc says.
So, and what you and I, we were chatting back and forth. So, say I have the coaching business. My coaching business is profitable, and I want to buy someone else's coaching business because they have a good list of clients, and maybe they're looking to retire anyway. So, I get a loan amount that is sufficient to buy their business, and now I'm turning a positive. You know, right out the gate, I've got I'm kicking out positive cash flow, right? Am I penalized, or is it going to be a problem? Because that's technically not doing what you said, except strategically, it's still running my business. And I heard you say it can't be used for expansion, right? That would be strategically an expansion, except it goes against the guidelines. So, and I guess same thing. You don't know what the penalties are.
You don't know what the penalties are, but it says it spells it out there completely. So again, it's how the dollars are used. Now, could someone, and I'm not advising this, but kind of just looking at kind of way things are currently written and understand the same way. I want to make sure we get some time for the PPP loan as well, because that's a pretty important one to kind of share with people, because I found a loophole on that one that nobody's talking about. But with this loan right here, can you, make that acquisition and kind of fold that into what is allowed as far as other operating expense? Possibly, but I will say this, most entrepreneurs are horrible about documentation, and that's not a slight, that's just a fact. So most entrepreneurs are horrible. Right. So most entrepreneurs are horrible about documentation. So if you do it, you need to know the guidelines, and you need to know what documentation you need to have to support that transaction.
Okay. All right. Because this could be a time for people to sell their businesses right now. And some people may have been already thinking about it, and some people haven't, except, they may be hurting. So they may rather take the cash, a lump sum, and walk away. So this might be an opportunity. Like you said, you're not recommending it. And this addresses what I was saying at the beginning of this show, is understanding your strategy. So from what you're saying, not only do you need to understand your strategy, and you have to make sure you have the right professionals in there to advise you on this, they also have to advise you on how to sort of fail safe, right? So if you have to do this with the understanding there's a high probability you could get audited, and you need to be ready for that.
I would move forward with this because, again, yep, to your point, Lori, exactly. I will move forward with not only this loan program but the other loan program and just function to the default of I am going to get audited.
Right.
And just go and just function from that standpoint and do what you're supposed to do with the money. So that's something that's kind of where we've found a niche for ourselves in the marketplace. Excuse me, because this is actually what we specialize in. So one of our offerings is what's called our PASS program. And Lori, I know you're like, hey, want to learn about some other things that outside of your traditional financial advisor? Right. We have a program called the PASS, which is our Profit Accelerator Small Business System. And in that, that's a cash management system. And though we've had this built and created for several years now, when the pandemic hit, our system became super valuable for helping businesses kind of navigate this. And then when the pandemic dollars via the CARES Act came out, we were a perfect fit for it because now we can allocate those dollars and it plugs right into our system and then gives that entrepreneur who I know out the gate is not good at tracking everything, but it allows them to add those funds to our system, which our system automatically tracks how the spending works. So that's where we've been super busy here over the past, you know, 30, 45 days, just helping clients navigate that space and putting them in positions where, you know, their business can survive an audit because everything is put in place right now.
Hey, before we move forward, I want to say if anyone would like to call in and ask Terry any question you want around this PPP and the SBA loans, you can call in right now. The number is 516-387-1640. That's 516-387-1640. Lori, I think you were going to ask a question.
I was. I was going to ask Terry if he could say what a fixed asset, like when you say to pay off your fixed assets, like would that be loans? Is that vendors? Is that, like, what does that mean?
Yeah. So it's a fixed, it was a fixed debt. And those fixed debts could be, you know, if you have, let's say you have another loan, you know what I'm saying, right? And this loan maybe has a better interest rate. You could look at paying off, you know what I'm saying, paying that fixed debt off, right? So that could be a fixed debt. So you'd have to refinance some of your current liabilities. So that's what we're looking at when we say fixed debts.
Thank you.
Yep, you're welcome.
All right, I guess we're going to dive into the PPP now.
Yeah. So let's talk about this PPP. So before for the EIDL loan, let me say this, make sure your listeners understand this. I'm not trying to scare you away from the money because here's the deal. At no point in time in history other than 2007, prior to 2007 before the market crashed because of the mortgage crisis, have I ever seen capital made this readily available to entrepreneurs. It's usually extremely hard for small businesses and mid-sized businesses, like you said, to get financing. So I'm not telling you to run from this loan because you may never have access to this type of capital ever again. We just helped a client get $150,000, and she just texted me today, funded this morning, $149,999 funded to her account this morning. That is going to be a game changer for her because she was in an industry where she was completely shut down and couldn't work, and this is going to help her tremendously as far as stabilizing her business and moving to the next level. So I'm not telling you don't get the loan. I'm telling you understand what the loan is. It's a 30-year business relationship with the SBA, and make sure that when you're thinking about spending those dollars, you think about ROI. And the last thing I would kind of, when I say ROI, return on investment, and the last thing I would kind of say about this is this. The loan is a 30-year loan, so it's no different than a 30-year mortgage. So on roughly a $55,000 loan, you're going to end up paying back almost $87,000 over the 30 years. So what it comes down to, simple math, everybody, is that for every dollar you spend, that dollar needs to bring in $1.60 just for you to break even. So again, as a working capital need, make sure you're looking at how these dollars can position your business to grow to the next level. Okay, so that's before walk away from the aisle. I'll leave it at that. Now let's get into this PPP, y'all. This PPP, this one scares me more than anything else. So the PPP is your Payroll Protection Program. Literally, folks are getting money to cover payroll. So the first P in this program is payroll. The second is protection. People are taking these dollars, and I'm seeing it daily, taking these dollars and, you know, prepaying for vacations, fixing the roof of your house, XYZ, and understand that this is for payroll. So you have to use these dollars for payroll. And they've changed the law. And again, this is why you need to work with a professional, because it has already changed from the time it was released. When the PPP first rolled out, it said, hey, 75% of these dollars have to go towards payroll. The other 25% can go towards other expenses like rent, utilities, and things of that nature. Now, if you follow the rules, this loan can be forgiven. It means like it never happened. If you don't follow the rules, the way the loan was previously written said, hey, you're going to have to pay this money back at 1% and for 2 years. Well, most people saw that 1% and was like, well, heck, I don't care if it's not forgiven. 1% is nothing. But they don't understand the terms of the loan. So Sometimes we focus on percent, but don't understand the actual numbers. So case in point, and I'm using this as an example because I actually have a client in New York City received PPP for $160,000. When we looked into the numbers, on a $160,000 loan with a 1% interest with 2-year payback, when the loan came due, his monthly payment was close to $7,000 a month.
Wow.
That's not a good loan. Wow. Right, but everybody got hung up on the 1%. Like, oh, that's awesome, 1%. And even if I don't follow the rules, I ain't worried about them. Okay, until you got to pay that bad boy back in 2 years because it's 1% over 2 years. So since then, they've changed the loan because they realized that 75% going towards payroll and 25% for everything else was kind of ridiculous. Now the loan via the PPP Flexibility Act says now you have to spend 60% on payroll and 40% on some of the stuff like rent and utilities and what have you. And instead of having 8 weeks as it rolled out previously, you now have 24 weeks to spend this money. And that 24 weeks starts at the time you receive that money. So the time that you receive that loan, you have 24 weeks to meet that criteria or that loan is not forgiven. And they've also changed it from being a 2-year loan to a 5-year loan, still at 1%, but still, that loan is not at 1%. You still got a lot of money to pay back in 5 years on a monthly basis. So if business already has issues right. with cash flow, they're going to have more issues with cash flow. But if you follow the rules, people, and do what you're supposed to do with the money, that money is forgiven. And that can be, again, we say, hey, is this going to be heaven or hell? You choose. If you follow the rules, it could be heaven. If you don't follow the rules, it could be hell, right? So that's that loan. Before I tell you the missing piece that nobody is talking about, y'all got any questions over that? Because it's something I'm going to share with you guys, which I'm super excited about.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so you're saying if you follow the rules, you won't have to pay it back.
Yes, ma'am. It's forgiven.
Okay. All right, Ted, you're on. I like that.
So, Perry, this money is technically coming from the Federal Reserve, just printed up money, and the government is borrowing it, correct?
You know what? I don't want to say yes to that, Ted, with like a definitive yes, but that's my understanding because I don't know where else they're getting this money from. But
Right. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought. You know, the Fed, they're now in charge of printing money, not the United States government. So, so that means the Fed is, you know, they're buying bonds and, you know, all kind of stuff like that, right? That's how they're infusing the money into the system, to the government. That money has to be paid back.
Oh.
So I don't want to sound like I'm raining on the parade here, but who's going to – are we going to have to pay this money back at some point? Are we going to have to pay the piper at some point?
Oh, Ted, so here's the deal. Always follow the money. Always follow the money. Everybody got so excited, like, oh, we got access to all of this free money. Ain't none of this money free. So to your point, yes, the loan can be forgiven. So, Lori, if you follow the rules, your loan can be forgiven. Absolutely. But where's the money coming from? Hey, y'all, we got to look at our taxation system. And kind of look at that and understand this. And I'll throw this little tidbit out there just as a little bonus here. We have to realize that where we are right now from a tax standpoint is still pretty low. If we go back to when Ronald Reagan, not when he was president, but when he was an actor, his request to the producers was he couldn't make more than $200,000 a year. Well, why was that? What, Ron, why do you only want to make $200,000 a year? Because any dollar above $200,000 was taxed at 70%. So we have to realize that our marginal tax rates right now, though, you know what I'm saying, a lot of politicians use it like, oh, I'm gonna change the tax, and the taxes and whatnot has a lot of runway to go up a lot higher. So to your point, Ted, I don't have a crystal ball, and I can't tell you how we're going to pay for these dollars, right, or the debt we're going into to provide this. But with that being said, I expect, you know what I'm saying, if I had a crystal ball and we could look into the future, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, I expect our tax rates to be a lot higher than they are right now. Now, I could be totally wrong, but again, how is the government going to pay for this money? I don't know.
And I thought I read somewhere, I don't know if it's true, I'm just asking you, The $1,200 that people were getting, is that a loan on their taxes?
You know what? I'm not, and I have to be quite honest on that one. The actual stimulus check, like, is that going to be kind of back into the tax? Hey, this is what you were going to get as a refund, but since you got the $1,200, we're going to reduce your refund from the $2,000 you were going to get down to $800 because we gave you the $1,200.
Right.
I'm not for sure on that one, Ted, because I've seen both sides of that coin. Like, no, this is this is stimulus money to help, you know what I'm saying, keep you afloat. And then I've seen, so what's crazy is, this is the profession I'm in, and I don't have a definitive answer on that. And that's what's even scarier. So I don't have an answer to that question.
Wow, now that's heavy. So maybe someone has an answer. They're just not telling anyone. Apparently, right? Because even if you, the detail you have on this, and to have no answer, this is so we can't just all just say, like, jump in and let's have a party, right? Like, you know, everyone's getting drunk and there are consequences.
Oh, yeah, you know what I'm saying? The wine is all in the streets.
Right, exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Wine is all in the streets, yeah. Yep.
They'll be saying, let him eat cake soon, right? So,
exactly. So,
I think it's happening now anyway, so might as well join the party.
For your listeners, we're not just painting your gloom and doom. I got to share this with y'all, right? So I've been studying this stuff just because of the nature of the business that I'm in, right? Because I'm kind of on both sides of the equation as a finance and as a CFO and things of that nature. And I kept seeing this provision, and I was like, this can't be right. So I called a buddy of mine at the SBA, hey, I'm reading this. Is this correct? And he's like, yeah. I said, okay. I said, it's not like a weird interpretation or anything. I just, as a financial advisor, this is how I'm interpreting this. He's like, no. And then and keep this in mind, y'all, with the PPP, you actually have to apply for the forgiveness, which, again, you have to document every dollar of where it goes, because you have to prove to the bank who gave you the loan that you used the money the way the money is supposed to be used, okay? Here's the deal, y'all, and this is what was mind-blowing to me, and this is where we've been helping so many of our clients, and they just love us to death right now. We're under the payroll provision, so right now under the PPP Flexibility Act, 60% of those dollars have to go toward payroll, okay? Well, what is payroll? Payroll, you have non-cash compensation and you have cash compensation. Cash compensation is what I get on my paycheck, right? So that's where you have to, if you're an entrepreneur, you got this money, you have to, you know what I'm saying, pay people as if it was a paycheck. That's what the money is for, right? But this is what I found out, and I confirmed it and reaffirmed it and confirmed it again because I just couldn't believe it. Inside that it says, well, also, you can use the money for contributions into retirement plans. Because guess what? When your employer makes a contribution to your plan, so let's say that, Ted, you and I work for Lori, right? And Lori, we're your employees. You could take the PPP money and say, hey, y'all, we got $100,000. $60,000 of this has to go towards payroll. What I'm going to do is I'm going to do a employer profit sharing contribution into all your retirement plans and get this loan forgiven. Have a great day. Y'all cool with that? Ted, you cool with that? I'm cool. You cool? I'm cool. There you go.
I'm hiring policy, you can.
Right. So it's crazy, Lori, because nobody's talking about it. And it's written in not only the loan document, it's written in the loan application, the whole nine. So how we've been helping clients, because of the CARES Act, it pushed the – so listeners, pay attention here. And this, you need to contact your financial advisor or somebody who can help you with this. You can reach out to us. If we have some time, we can hopefully be able to help you.
Right.
But here's the deal. Because of the CARES Act extending the tax deadline to July 15th, if you receive PPP money, you could take a portion of that PPP money and put it into a retirement plan for 2019 taxes and get your loan forgiven. Are you kidding me?
Really?
Crazy.
And I heard I heard you say something earlier about penalty-free reaching into your retirement fund, and there's no penalty or something. Did I hear you say that?
Let's talk about it.
Sorry, guys. Don't forget we have a caller on hold, I think.
Okay, cool.
Let's take the caller. Let's take the caller, and you can answer my question later.
Definitely.
Okay, I believe we have a caller, area code 216. Not sure if you were just listening or wanted to ask a question.
Hi. My name is Patricia, and I want to ask a question. I'm starting my business. I'm a Reiki practitioner healer. It's in the alternative health area, if you're not familiar. And I'm doing this basically as all online virtual. And I'm just starting in business, and I've just created a Facebook business page, which I'm still trying to figure out how to do this and that, and trying to upload PayPal button on there to be paid. And because it's just right now Reiki sessions, and they're going to be remote, meaning I'll call the customer. Customer call me by phone or by, you know, Zoom or along those lines. So it won't be in person. And I was wondering, have you, what is, I mean, do I need a in-home permit or I've been trying to figure out the social media, you know, and make sure that I, you know, and I've got it set up, you know, who I am, you know, what I can do for the customer, what they will receive. And that's what was suggested to me, a Facebook business page. And if there's any suggestions you want to give me. And the reason I don't have a website yet is because I don't have any monies yet. And I don't have the clients yet, so that's what I'm working on. And I'm writing posts every other day, so weekly, on my Facebook. And even though I don't have the customers yet, but I'm still writing those posts. And when I do get some, you know, prospects, subscribers, they can start reading, you know, and I'm educating about Reiki and chakras and, you know, the energy centers and energy body. So any suggestions?
So I'm not sure if you're asking about, you know, the social media for suggestions, or starting the business financing suggestions, or permits and, you know, what you need to get started as a business. Or maybe it's all of those questions, right? Because you're starting a business, so all of those things are plentiful.
So the social media, and yes, obviously, and I'm doing this, going through social media, writing posts and articles to, yes, build my credibility and expertise. And I'm learning the skills, the speaking skills. With all this self-quarantining, I've been productive so that I can talk and speak on podcasts, radio interviews, radio shows, and online event summit. So I'm preparing myself, and I'm learning so much. So, but yeah, the social media is trying to understand it. And, of course, I don't have money to boost, post, and, you know, that sort of thing. So, yeah, could I get some help with the, like, social media and, well, a bit of it all.
So Perry, do you want to or Ted or me?
I'll jump on it real quick. I would say this. First of all, kudos to you for asking for help. That's kind of the first step. The second thing I would say is this. I was once told by a mentor that there's nothing new underneath the sun. And what she meant by that when she told me that is, like, if you have a certain business model that you're trying to launch, though your product may be unique, business is still business is still business. So what I would say do is find a business that's similar to yours and see what they're doing on social media. Really study that. And then even one step further, if you can find someone, again, who's in your space and maybe it's not particularly, you know, the holistic healing space, but that online health, it can be online health space, I would look to find some mentorship so that you're not just asking questions, because that's, social media is not my wheelhouse. It's not my expertise, so I can't advise on it because that's just not what our company focuses on. From a business coaching standpoint, there's always someone who's a little further along than you in the same journey. Identify that person, and then see if you can get some mentorship and get in a position to potentially get some money where you can get some coaching, but also to see what other businesses are, what other businesses are doing, and if it's something that you like and you can see they're getting some traction with their business. You know, something we used to tell our staff all the time is case it, C-A-S-E, copy and steal everything. So let no good idea go unstolen. So that would be my feedback.
Yeah, and we have some past episodes that were really good. I'm hoping this is your sell, and I am texting you some of the other episodes and the social media experts that, you know, who you can also talk to as well.
Okay.
And you can always reach me on my Facebook, LGC Interiors. And I can probably walk you through some things also and be helpful.
Oh, okay. All right.
So you'll have my number too.
Yeah.
That's helpful for you?
Beg your pardon?
Was that helpful, the answers they gave you?
Okay, I'm sorry. Wait, could you repeat that again?
Was that helpful for you?
Oh, yes. Because I've sat here for a couple of hours just trying to figure out. I got my PayPal. I went to my PayPal account to get that activated, but then to get it, make sure that the Facebook is, you know, that when they click on there. And like I said, yes, I'm working, I'm just learning so many things and have several balls up in the air. So, yeah, I'm using Facebook. And then once I get an income or a steady stream of money, then I'll get that website so that not all my content is on these social medias and will be on my website.
Right.
So, I mean, there is a purpose I'm doing this for. But anyway, yes, it's been helpful.
Okay. Where are you calling from?
Portland, Oregon.
Oregon. Okay. How'd you hear about us? You're on the other side of the country from us.
Yes, I just happened to listen to just going through the Blog Talk Radio live
website.
Shows. Yeah.
Okay. Well, glad you called. Thanks for calling. It was a good question. Good luck to you.
Yeah, thank you very much. And feel free to reach out to me as well.
Okay. Thank you very much. I do appreciate that.
Thank you.
No problem.
Have a good evening.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you, too. Thank you, Perry.
You're welcome.
For jumping right in.
Indeed.
So back.
So what were we talking about before?
Well, we were finishing up the PPP. You asked a question about this. You asked a question around the penalty-free for retirement plan distribution.
Right.
Okay. All right. So here's the deal, y'all. And I want to say this loud and clear. Make sure I'm leaning into my mic here so all the viewers can hear this. Penalty-free retirement plan distribution means penalty. The penalty, if you're under 59 and a half to take your money out, is 10%. That penalty-free does not mean tax-free, people. You still owe taxes on that money. Penalty-free is 10%. Taxes is going to be between 20, 30, 40%. That 10% is an early withdrawal penalty. So it just burns me when I hear people say, oh, you know what I'm saying? You know, hey, Perry, I heard I could take out my 401k penalty-free. I'm going to take that out. Okay, you can take it out penalty-free, buddy. You can take out that $100,000. Absolutely, you can. But you are going to owe taxes on that money. And $100,000 of taxable income added to your current income puts you in a tax bracket where you may end up paying 40 cents on the dollar because that money is taxed at the federal and the state level. People, please get you a financial advisor or an expert. Stop making these financial decisions on your own. You are killing yourself. So here's the deal. What the CARES Act said with that loan, with that let me make sure we also too make sure we understand the language here, because part of the issue with finances is nobody understands the language of finance. A distribution is you taking the money out, okay, and you distribute it. Now, what the CARES Act said is this: you have 3 years to put that money back, or it's 100% taxable. Now, from my 20 years of being in this industry, I have yet to meet a person who said, I'm going to take money out of my 401k and put it back. Now, you can do some 60, I've had some clients do 60-day indirect rollovers where they take money back. They say, hey, P, I need to do a deal or I need some money. I say, okay, you have 60 days where you can put the money back. I've had some people do that. But if people are taking money, that's out of their IRAs. But if people are taking their retirement out, it is a very low likelihood that they're going to put that money back in 3 years. So that money is going to be taxed. So that's not free money, y'all. That's not penalty money, but that's not tax-free money. And, again, if we follow the money, y'all, Ted, and I know you kind of like, you know, saying that the conspiracy piece and all of that, check this out when we follow the money. The government gets paid off of the money coming out of the 401k. Typically, while the money's inside your 401k or retirement plans, there's no taxes being paid. That's why the government says that at a certain age, I think they moved the age to 72 now, it used to be 70 and a half, at a certain age, you have what's called an RMD, a required minimum distribution. Well, Perry, why do they do that? Because the government wants their money, because as soon as that money comes out, it's a taxable event. So because they rolled this CARES Act out and allowed people to take money out their 401k, the government just wrote themselves a blank check for the next 1 to 3 years because you have to pay. So where they was going to have to wait, if I'm 40 years old and they was going to have to wait until I retired in 2 years, they got the money now. Follow the money, people. It ain't that hard. Just follow the money.
That's a little sneaky.
Oh. I knew something was in there. I knew it was something.
You did.
So, yeah, penalty-free ain't tax-free. It's different. Now, on the flip side of that, not to confuse the listeners, but understand, and you can always reach out to them if you need more clarity. Also in the CARES Act, you have the penalty-free distribution, but also, too, they increase the amount that you can borrow from your 401k. So let's make sure I'm crystal clear.
Oh, wow.
Borrowing money and distributing money are different. Distributing literally is I took the money out. Borrowing, and it's always been like this, you could always borrow against your 401k. You could typically borrow up to 50% of your 401k to a max of $50,000. So if you had a 401k with $10,000 in it, at any point in time, you could go to your employer or your HR department like, hey, I'm going to take a loan. And that loan would be up to 50% of the value of that account. So if you have a 401k with $10,000 in it, you can anytime borrow $5,000. It's actually a strategy that we use a lot of with our entrepreneurs, because most people don't realize that you don't have to be with a company to have a 401k. I can set up, if you're self-employed, I can set you up with a solo 401k today where you still have those provisions. So it has some wins to it, because that loan, for it to be an actual loan, has to have a principal and interest payment. Well, guess what? Principal and payment goes back into your account. So it's actually a form of self-banking if used the right way. But again, folks ain't going to use it the right way. So this is what's going to happen. That what they did with the CARES Act, they increased the limit from $50,000 to $100,000. So now you got a bunch of people now taking loans out of their 401k as well. But keep this in mind. If you don't pay that loan back, guess what happens to the money you took out? So let's say I have $200,000 in my 401k, and I'm like, hey, government, hook me up. They said I can borrow 50%, and I took that money out, and I blew that $100,000. The payment is still required. If you don't make that payment, guess what happened to that $100,000? It just became taxable, too. The government just wrote themselves another check.
Wow.
So follow the money. So, again, whether we're talking about the 401k, Ted and Lori, or we're talking about the distribution, the loan, the PPP, the you know, the EIDL, you know what I'm saying, and all of these things with the CARES Act, it gave the it gave us opportunity to access capital that we've never seen. It's like the Wild Wild West. And if you use this money wisely, you can create extreme wealth. But if you use this money frivolously, or you don't have guidance and understand the repercussions and not using the money the way it's supposed to be used, you're going to see folks with zero retirement, owing the SBA, lien on their house, potentially jail time and all kind of fines. And the time is ticking because the first payment on these SBA loans are due 12 months after they fund. And you got to start making payments on the PPP, I believe now it was 6 months after your window is up. So in about 18, 24 months, y'all, we're on the podcast now. Watch what happens to our economy, because a lot of these entrepreneurs are not going to seek help. They're not going to seek guidance. They're going to make these decisions on their own. They don't understand the loan they signed up for. And when payments start coming due and taxes start being owed, it is going to be a major issue for our economy. Now, for those who are smart, they're going to be positioned better than they ever did. Access to capital used the right way, they are going to be able, to create extreme wealth.
So we're looking at a mirror, sort of a mirror image of the last recession with the real estate bubble when that exploded. All those people that took out loans that they really couldn't afford, exotic loans, interest only, they took 105% of the value of the house, and then that house price of the house dropped, and they couldn't. You're talking about the same exact kind of bubble. This is interesting.
Yep.
Wow, so you're saying 24 months.
24 months, I'm watching. I'm like, because that's what comes right now.
3 years maximum before we really see the you-know-what hit the fan then, huh?
Oh, yeah, it's going to hit the fan. It's going to hit. It's the numbers tell you it's going to hit. Just follow them.
Okay, wow. All right, so you're a prophet now, so good. So as a prophet,
Chad, oddly enough, my podcast is called Prophetology with Perry Jeffries, but it's not spelled in the religious way. It's spelled P-R-O-F-I-T.
So tell them how to get – so for those who want a prophet to help them get more profit, tell them how to get a hold of you.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate it. So easiest way to get a hold of me, y'all, just go to perryjeffries.com, PerryJeffries. On the website, we have a bunch of free resources. We love to give this stuff away for free. Information is free, and people hire us when they're ready to take the information and implement it. So go there and then definitely connect with us on all your social media, Facebook, Instagram. Easy way, you can Google us, Perry Jeffries III. And you'll be able to pull up all of our stuff. So follow us on everything. But really, for our main resources and our main hub to all of our other resources, just go to perryjeffries.com.
All right. Last word. Give people some final words of wisdom before we close this out.
Yeah, absolutely, y'all. So there's three things. So here's the deal. When it comes to dealing with your finances, when it comes to dealing with your business, you have opinions, you have information, and you have advice. Opinions, we know what they hear about opinions. Everybody has one, just like that other thing. I take opinions and I personally throw them in the trash. Your opinion is based on your personal experiences, not mine. Then you have information, which is based upon factual data. And that's what Lori and Ted allowed me to share with y'all tonight was information. Advice is when an expert with a proven track record takes information and positions it with you and customizes that information to what you actually need. And that's what I highly recommend everybody do is, that, you know, the heck with opinions, get the information, but please seek advice.
Perry, it was great having you as a guest. You love what you do. It comes across and certainly have a lot of energy. So that's awesome.
Thank you, Lori. It's a pleasure meeting you, and I hope to get a chance to connect again.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much.
So thanks
Ted,
a lot, Perry. Yep, yep. As always, you do a great job.
Thank you for joining us on this, and I thank everyone who listened to the show. We had a great caller with a question, and we'll be back next week with another guest and some
Absolutely.
More amazing information. So thanks, everyone, and have a great evening.
You too. And thank you guys, Ted and Lori, for what you do. Please keep doing this. We as business owners, we need it. I thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. All right, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Good night, all. See you next week.